Okay.
We are on. Okay, so we've been studying 1 Corinthians 13 this summer and looking at different aspects of that and what that means for us. And so the topic today is love is patient. So we've read this several times, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read this time from the Message version, just because I feel like this particular segment is really more like modern language, since we've talked about the other one several times. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. I'm just going to stop right there because that's the love is patient part. So in the other versions that we've been reading, like ESV, it says love is patient, love is kind. The King James Version says love suffereth long. So what does it mean to you to be patient? Given what we just read.
This is not necessarily me, but just with what you said about the King James Version saying suffering long, that right there implies that there's patience involves something difficult. Patience involves something challenging. Patience involves something where you may actually be suffering. So I think it's interesting that that's part of the definition there, because that means that patience involves staying faithful and committed through something that is difficult and challenging.
Nicely put. Anyone else? What does it mean to you, even maybe before we just read that, what does it mean to you to be patient? Did you have something, Donna?
Well, I was going to be facetious and say we don't have to be patient. We can put it in the microwave.
Well, we don't have to be patient.
Right. And I can transfer money from my savings account to my checking account without leaving the house. I don't have to be patient. And so when you do have to be patient, it's tough because you're so unaccustomed to it.
Steph.
I think I was prepping for this class today, and I was, in my mind, I think a lot of times, at least I have, is there's this connotation that if I'm patient, I'm going to get what I want in the end. Mm-hmm. If I just wait and wait and wait and suffer and pray and, you know, all that at the end of that, there's going to be this rainbow that's going to give me whatever it is that I'm being patient for. And as I was studying and thinking, that's not what it is at all. Right?
Yeah.
You may not get what you want at the end. You might be struggling in a tough marriage. You might have tough kids. You might have something really serious happening in your life, and you can put those burdens on God, but it doesn't mean that there's no consequences. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be suffering in the end. Like, it doesn't give you this gold pot at the end of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And I think in our American culture, that's what we think. If I'm patient, I'm going to get what I want in the end.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Mm-hmm. I haven't quite learned yet what patience is. I know
I'm learning with you.
And when I'm impatient, it's always because I put myself before somebody else, and I'm frustrated because I'm not getting what I want,
mm-hmm.
what I think mm-hmm. I deserve, and that's mm-hmm. that I can recognize.
And that's our culture. Like we're saying, it's like this instant gratification, right? I feel like, well, I picked this lesson. Oh, go ahead, Jolene.
I have found that
always be that way. And that's it. And you just put up with it and deal with it. And it's not always fun.
Yeah. I don't know that it says in the Bible that we're supposed to have fun while we do it, all right? That's the thing, yeah.
Well, as Stephanie said, we expect this happy outcome, but
right.
There are just things you put up with all your life, and that's the way it is. And you have to patiently, lovingly, and kindly deal with it, and talk to yourself a lot.
Yeah, lots of self-talk, lots of reframing. We'll get to that later, too. I feel like I saw someone else.
It's when I look at it, it's controlling my reactions and having a godly reaction to many of the negative things in our life that come to us, whether it's evil or if it's just frustrations or if it's just that we've got to be in control of our reactions to that. It's kind of the opposite of kindness, because in kindness we're giving, and long suffering we're reacting in a godly way to the
right.
Negative things.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this week with how we talked about kindness last week as being useful, right? And so kind of contrasting that with what it means to be patient. I picked this lesson because this is something that is I struggle with. I struggle with this in a few different ways in my life. So this one spoke to me, and it's been a good study for me, so hopefully you'll get something out of it too. But I think, when we think about patient, like, in our world today, we think about waiting, having to wait. And we think about describing someone as patient, like she's a patient person. But it's not really an adjective. Patience is an action word. And patience is not being passive. Patience is not the same as waiting. It's how we deal with trials, how we endure. I saw this quote, which was cute. Patience is more than waiting calmly in line. It's waiting calmly when people are out of line. Thought that was good. So the original Greek here, and also in the Bible when it's in Hebrew, is the state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. So think endurance. A lot of times you'll see it written as long-suffering or slow to anger. Or the state of being able to bear up when provoked. So that was different than kind of what I was thinking about patience. But I think in modern words, we could say it's the ability to endure difficult people and difficult situations without giving in to anger or giving up hope. So Stephanie helped us have a better understanding of the time and the city of Corinth. But just as a refresher, this city was a major commercial center. It was known for immorality and idol worship, paganism, debauchery. The Corinthians were struggling to exist in this culture. And do you ever feel like you struggle to exist in this culture? I do. So think about suffering long, enduring difficult people, difficult times without giving up hope. It's really not so different from our life these days, right? So from a psychology lens, there are three types of patients. So we have interpersonal patients in life hardships and daily hassle. So the interpersonal patience is being patient with others. So what you would see with your relationships, maybe your work colleagues, your family, your children. Then we have patients in life hardships. So that's kind of like dealing with long-term issues in your life, dealing with setbacks, perseverance, so maybe health issues, financial issues. And then we have the daily hassle patients. So that's just dealing with life's irritations, maybe the weather or waiting in line, travel delays, annoyances, tedious tasks. So where do you feel like you lack patience in your life? Given these three, where do you feel like you lack patience? Anyone willing to be vulnerable?
For me, it's the daily, right? Like, I mean, we've had big, long trials in our life with health issues, and I feel like in those, it was easier in a wonky way, kind of weird to be able to say those long term were a little easier for us. Like, okay, this is like you, because it's a trial that slaps you in the face. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, this is what you gotta do. I gotta bear down, you know, we gotta get through this. But it's those daily, like, people annoyances that are that constant self talk. Patient, mm-hmm. you don't know what that person's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Just
deep breath.
Stop, shut your mouth, right?
A lot of
driving. Mm-hmm. Like these are, you're anonymous and you really don't see the other person, you just see what they're doing, and just realizing, like she said, they're going through their own mm-hmm. issues while they're driving.
Yeah, it's important to know our triggers. So, yeah, anyone else? Where do you feel like you lack patience? Which one is it for you? Or maybe it's all of them.
I would say the interpersonal. Not so much with, like, I don't want to say the people you don't care about, but, you know, it's not like the people at the grocery store or things like that, but it's like people in your family or your friends where you're just, like, you're watching them and you're like, oh, like, you're so dumb. Like, that's how you feel just watching
yeah.
them. And it's like, you want to give all this advice and you want to do all these things, but it's like, one, it might not even be your place. It mm-hmm. might just be your prayer and then it's God's place. But just having to, like, be patient and not mock those people, not make them feel not loved, not showing them Christ's love, like, that's difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I think with the life hardships, it's really challenging too, because a lot of medical or health things, you feel like you can get to the other side of it. So it's like, okay, if we do these steps, we're going to be better in the end, or we're going to get mm-hmm. through it kind of thing. And the life hardships that you don't get through and never end mm-hmm. sucks the endurance out of you. And so that part, patience is hard.
Absolutely. For me right now in my life, it's number one and two. It's funny how you said, Stephanie, like you feel like you've been through some of these. And I've been through some of these life hardships too with health. I'm a cancer survivor, but I feel like this is still hard. But I feel like the daily hassle stuff has gotten easier for me as I've gotten older. So it's interesting to hear different perspectives, you know, what challenges us. But it's good to know where we need to put in the work, right? Because life is messy. So let's think of people in Scripture who demonstrated great patience. So people who suffered long. And spoiler alert, don't tell me God or Jesus right now, because we know. We'll get to that later. But like regular people, Bible characters. Who comes to mind when you think about people that demonstrated great patience?
Noah.
Doesn't mean it has to be perfect.
Noah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He had faith to do what God told him to do, even though everyone yeah. ridiculed him and made him feel like he was crazy.
Yeah. And he waited 120 years. Can you even wrap your mind around that? 120 years from the time he was told to build the ark till the flood. And then that wasn't enough, because then 378 days in the ark. Whoa. Anyone else?
Hannah. And Sarah, both.
Yep.
They prayed for a very long time for a child, and the thing that's so admirable about both of them is that even when they did, they took that child that they had prayed for so long and waited patiently for and gave him to God
mm-hmm.
and said, this isn't mine, this is yours, and mm-hmm. he's going to serve you, you know, before he's my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only did they have patience in waiting for that child, but they then had patience and faith in trusting to give him back over to God.
Mm-hmm. Linda?
Well, we've been studying in our Thursday morning class about women in the Bible, and there's a lot of them. And we just studied about Moses' mother, Jochebed, and the patience that she had, and having to give her child up really two times, and you know, the hardships of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very difficult situation.
It's really challenging to, like, try to put yourself in these people's shoes, right? I mean, we read it kind of like a story, but like this really happened, we know, and to really imagine like what that would have been like. I heard someone say Job. You hear people say the patience of Job. He for sure suffered long. Anybody else come to mind?
Esther.
Mm-hmm. Esther. Grace.
Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
With her previous husband, right. Had to have a lot of interpersonal patience. If that was just one example of his behavior.
I feel like there were other hints. Daniel, Caleb and Joshua, Rebecca, Moses, Paul, Jacob, he worked 14 years for Laban, Mary, Samuel was another one that I had down. So he was Israel's last judge. He never lost hope, ruled with patience, and then led them to repentance. So we have a lot of good examples of people in the Bible who suffered long. So let's shift gears and think about God's patience with us. So the thing is that God doesn't just show patience. He is patience. It's who he is. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love and love is patient. So God is patience. In fact, it's how he describes himself. In Exodus 34:6, if you'll turn there with me. Exodus 34:6. So this is when Moses is chiseling out the new stone tablets after the other ones have been broken. And he goes up to Mount Sinai, and God comes to him. So let's read this. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him. Just take a moment to think about that. The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, that's translated long-suffering, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And I love this because when God chose to speak his attributes, he chose to speak about his character to Moses, he made sure to tell him that he's long-suffering toward his people. What a beautiful thing that is. And we talked about with Noah. God was so patient during that time. And in 1 Peter 3:20, it says God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. So he showed great patience in waiting for repentance in Noah's days. But we know his patience doesn't last forever. And it didn't then. The flood came and destroyed the world except for 8 people. So what are some other examples that come to your mind of how God shows his patience with mankind in scripture? How does he show his patience with man?
Oh, through the period of the judges. And they said, and somebody else comes in and tries to oppress them, and God raises up a judge who is also a military person, saves the people. They're good for about 40 years. And then they just fall off the end of the earth again and do everything. And it's just, even the little kids in Bible class, little six-year-olds say, again? Mm-hmm. You know, how could this happen again?
Mm-hmm. We're really not that different either, are we?
No.
What do we say? from the sun, that there's nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. Other examples of God's patience that come to your mind?
When the people were let go from Egypt, the children of Israel, mm-hmm. there was a few times where God just wanted to destroy them, and Abraham intervened and was like, no, Lord, you know, you might want to think about this, because how the other nations, you know, are going to view what happened. So he was patient with mm-hmm. mankind during that time.
Yeah, he was going to keep his promise, right? Mm-hmm. What about with Adam and Eve? You know, the first thing that he did was he gave them clothing, made them clothing. So when we think about God's patience with us and how he's demonstrated that time and time again, I mean, we could go on and on. There's so many scriptures that we could read, right? But when we think about God's patience with us, when we think about God's patience with mankind, it should help us be patient with others, right? Easier said than done. why is God patient with us? We talked about that's his character, but I mean, he doesn't have to be. Why does he? What's the purpose of his patience?
Well, he wants everybody to be saved. Mm-hmm. And so he's patient with us that way. We don't really understand that, because at a certain point we'd say, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, you've wronged me too many times. It's over. And he doesn't do that. And it's really hard for us to mm-hmm. understand that. And I've talked to people that have been away from church, and they say, I can't come back. You know, the ceiling will fall in, or something silly like that. And then you ask them to remember some of the people in the Bible that did horrible things, but when they repented, mm-hmm. God took them back, and he promises he won't even remember it. He's not going to bring it up. Mm-hmm. Unlike me, I'll be happy to bring up how you wronged me.
I know, that's the struggle.
How you wronged me a few years ago.
That's the struggle. And I think about David with what you said, because, I mean, I think we think about David, and we're like, wow, like that whole thing with Bathsheba, like, I can't imagine somebody doing that. Like, how awful, like, you know, all of these different steps that of sinful behavior. But, you know, like, that's not what David's remembered for in the Bible. And he's talked about as a man after God's own heart. So, I mean, we know, like, you know, he was forgiven. And he's spoken about as somebody who very closely followed God. But that's really hard for us. So we're going to get into that a little bit more, what we can do. But God is patient with us because he wants everyone to come to repentance. Let's read 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's not patient because we deserve it. He's patient because it's who he is. He doesn't lose patience because it is his nature. He knows all things from beginning to end, so he exists outside of time. It's not that he has a need to be patient. But when we think of God's patience, it's not that he's enduring the hard times like it is for us on earth, but it's how he's long-suffering towards his people in order to bring us to repentance. And we know that that his patience does have an end. We're not going to go too much into that, but that his justice requires that he punish those who do not respond to his patience and love. So let's think about the application piece. This is where it gets tough, right? So how do we... Mm-hmm.
you mentioned at the very end, excuse me, we're interrupting, about his patience and his love, and I think the love is the key there, and it's like you said, God is love,
mm-hmm.
and love is patience, and we can't really wrap our heads around
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
The closest thing that we have to understand that is our children, for those of us who have children, and how we love them. We have this great love, it's unspoken, no matter what they do, if they're, and we endure and patiently endure many things through their lives. sicknesses, doing bad things, you know, from the time they're little into the time they're big to the time they're adults, and we still love them and we welcome them and we want them to come back at any time. We'll do anything we can. And that's the kind of love, and that's the only way, that's the only
mm-hmm.
way I can understand how God loves us and has those patience for us. No matter what we do, he wants
mm-hmm.
us to come back and wrap his arms around us again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Any other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a nerdy way of looking at it, and I teach English, so my math explanation won't be great, but there is a theorem that's A equals B, B equals C, then A
mm-hmm.
equals C.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this entire chapter of Corinthians. We know
mm-hmm.
that God is love, so therefore anything that love is God. So
mm-hmm.
all of those characteristics of love
yeah.
in Corinthians 13, that is who God is.
Yep. Yep. That's who he is. And it's who we're called to be. So how do we practice patience? How do we practice being able to endure displeasure, difficult situations for a long time without giving into anger, without losing hope? Ooh, that's where it gets really tricky. I don't know if any of you have ideas. Share them with me. But is there a way that any of you have learned how to practice patience?
Through prayer. It helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Help me be patient.
Yes.
Help me endure. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Alicia?
I think sometimes we try to control situations so much, and I found that when I just let go of the whole thing, that helps, because there's things in life that we get really discouraged about, and that becomes our day-to-day like struggle, trying to fix this situation,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately, we can't fix people, we can't fix situations, and I think the moment that we just let go and focus on our relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
the better that gets.
Amen. Yeah, accept what you can't change, because God's in control. What else? What else has worked for you?
remembering that I, too, need patience, and remembering, like, we have, one teenage child at home, but when they're being a real teenager,
mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a teenager, and I think I probably did the same thing, or I probably annoyed my parents the way I'm being annoyed right now, and I need patience. So I want to give that what I need. I want to be able to give that to all those around me. So.
I love that that's where your mind goes. That's not my first inclination, so thank you for that reminder.
Well, sometimes I do that, not always.
I don't need patience. I need to be patient with others. Someone else had their hand up, I thought, over here. Okay.
As well as the other ladies have said, praying. And I try, my first thought in the morning is go to God and pray for patience. And sometimes, as mothers, mm-hmm. we want to be the mother that we have in our mind that we have to be. But our children are different, and they need a completely different person. So I pray to God to help me be the mother that they need me to be,
mm-hmm.
not the one that I think I should be.
That's one of my prayers, too, because different kids need different things, right?
Sometimes I just walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
I do something else. I mean, I will physically just do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to eat something sweet. And I really do. When I am just out of gas and I just can't put up with something anymore, I just want to go and get something really sweet to eat.
Mm-hmm.
and get away from it and not think about it until I can deal with it. And maybe that's escapism, but sometimes it gets really over my head. And mm-hmm. so I just go and do something that I feel like I enjoy for the moment and have to escape it. And I truly believe God gives that to me. Otherwise, I just might explode. And I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I do something else. And chocolate works.
That's a quote. Chocolate works. Jolene. Yeah, we talked about escaping and numbing behaviors some last week. And I mean, I think there's just, you know, some of those things can be healthy, but we know when it's not, you know. Chocolate.
Yeah.
Lisa.
Action versus reaction. And you can pretty much use that for like any of the topics that we're going to be talking mm-hmm. about. But it's action versus reaction. So being patient, like you said, is in the nature of our Lord, but it's not necessarily in our nature. Some people have more tendencies to be more patient than others, and patience also sometimes is a season of life. When you're raising young kids, your patience is tested more on a level than when, you know, they're older or, you know, before you have kids. But reaction versus action, I don't think what Jolene said is like escaping, it's in a bad way. It's a coping mechanism,
right.
And some people need that, counting to 10, taking a deep breath, telling the other person that, you know, go to your room or we need to revisit this later. And so we have a mechanism, so finding a mechanism that works for you is huge.
Yes, finding what works for you. Taking a deep breath is one of mine. And sometimes, because I'm dealing with number one and number two in my life, with my relationship issues, sometimes it's like a prayer that's like a one-liner. Because maybe I'm in the middle of a conversation, and I'm just like, God, help me with my reactions right now. Because I feel about to explode, and I know that's not what you want from me. And I feel his peace, you know?
I ask myself quite often, does it really matter? Because I'll get so upset about something, and then I try to calm down and say, no, does this really, really matter?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it doesn't.
Right. Lisa, you something that you said too just clicked with me, that this is not our nature, right? This is not... We're not born patient. I mean, from the time that we're born, we're screaming and crying. And, you know, with a baby or a toddler, it's like, I want what I want, when I want it, give it to me now, or I'm going to throw a fit. But it's something that we can learn. It's something that we can learn. But it does take time and takes wisdom. Mm-hmm. I feel like someone else had an idea.
Well, this is going to sound very simplistic.
Sometimes those are the best.
Some of our interpersonal relationships with one another, especially our sisters in Christ, just always be ready to give them the best.
Mm-hmm.
Always put the best interpretation on our interactions and our verbal mm-hmm. interactions with them. And just, you know, don't assign motives, don't assign whatever. And just return it with love, no matter what it appears to be to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing them a gift, but you're doing yourself also a
yeah.
huge gift to that.
Right. You're really good at jumping to conclusions. Anybody else could win a jump to conclusions contest?
When he's saying practicing patience, that's really the key, because anything that we practice at is because we're not there. We need to continuously work to get there. And patience looks different in different seasons of our lives and the way that we handle it. A running joke in my family is that my parents prayed for patience and ended up with my sister. And this was, we were 7, 10, 12, they were in their late 30s, you know, like, they were done. And so that's always been the joke, because what patience looks like with a baby at nearly 40 and a 13-year-old
mm-hmm.
versus what it looks like in their 20s was very different. So it's something that we have to continuously work at, and what works in one situation won't necessarily work in the other one.
Yeah. And we're never going to get to that end point, like we were talking about in the beginning, where it's like, okay, we made it, we're done. Like, I'm patient all the time. I'm a speech pathologist. I think a lot of you know I work with kids. And then with my own kids, something that I say all the time is practice makes progress. Forget practice makes perfect. But the more that you practice something, like, there's going to be progress. So acknowledge the baby steps, right? So it's easy, I think, too, to think about maybe what not to do. We've talked about a lot of good things to do, but, you know, don't act annoyed, or don't give an angry rebuttal. Don't vent every frustration. We don't have to vent everything. take revenge, these things. But there's a lot of benefits in the scripture that patients can bring. So we don't want to miss out on the powerful things that patients can do. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into small groups, just kind of where you're sitting, for about 3 minutes. And if you don't know the people around you, this is a great time to smile and introduce yourself. We have a lot of visitors, so thanks for being here. And we're going to, each group is going to have a scripture, and just talk about it in your group. And if somebody could be ready to share out what this verse provides that patients can do for us. So just kind of where you're sitting. I'm going to go ahead and bring us back together. So wrap up your discussion. Okay. All right, let's see what each group has to share. Lots of, I'm sure we could keep talking within our groups. There's a lot of good talking going on. Okay, our first group, Proverbs 25:15. This is a good one. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. What did you guys take from that? What can patience do?
Well, we were just talking about, well, I'll share what I said, that as a teacher, I've learned, and in life, not just, you know, with whatever relationship you have, patience is going to make whoever you're interacting with feel that you care about them, that you have their best interest in mind, and it's going to help you something in them that maybe you didn't before. I love Jonna's question was, you know, what surprised you when you were patient with somebody? And it's going to help you be more open to receiving something new from somebody else, or and it's going to help them to receive. Once you're not patient with somebody and you're snappy, mm-hmm. you're angry,
it's kind of done.
That's a wall.
Yeah.
We're done. Exactly. So in this case, it's this ruler in this scenario. Whoever was patient with, or who, you know, was patient, persuaded them with that patience, with that kindness, love, mm-hmm. whatever it was, relationship. Mm-hmm. That
it's power, was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very powerful. That one stuck with me. Our next group, Proverbs 19:11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. What stood out for you all?
So my version says the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And mm-hmm. We were like talking about that word discretion. Mm-hmm. So the wisdom, it's not knowledge, it's applying what you know. Mm-hmm. Also the slow to anger doesn't necessarily mean you're not angry.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You take some time to get there. You're not lashing out. The third group, Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. They're all fighting over who gets to share. We don't have time for arm wrestling.
Well, we were talking about how the showing great understanding there takes on several different avenues, one being you are much more likely to have patience with somebody when you try to understand where they're coming from, why they're doing it. Because often when we are quick-tempered, it's based on what this has done to us, how you've made me feel, and not looking at mm-hmm. where the other person is coming from. Mm-hmm. And then you have the very obvious, a quick-tempered one promotes foolishness. That's not ever the response that we should have. And we mm-hmm. often look foolish when that's the way that we respond.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, the group back here, you had Romans 2? Yeah?
No.
Oh, sorry, Proverbs 15:18. Okay. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel.
Same thing. That was good. My mom used to have a saying that, Lord, make my words so sweet because I might speak them tomorrow.
So, I like that.
Yeah, so, hold your time. Don't mm-hmm. say what you really want to say. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Yeah. My mother used to say, you can't say anything
nice.
You
yeah.
don't have to say
mm-hmm. Still good words of wisdom. All right, Romans 2 group.
So it's certainly a section of self-reflection, and just we were kind of equating it to looking for the stick in others' eyes when you have the plank, and you know, just making these quick judgments. And the beginning of the section starts out really strong with you have no excuse for doing these things, and then also it ends the section with a really good question of, will you escape the judgment of God because you have made these judgments? Like, you know, know, basically, congratulations, you pointed out someone's problem. Does that help you anymore? And your, you know, your journey, so.
Thank you. And then we had Hebrews 6:12 and 2 Peter 3:15.
That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We were discussing about the people that we mentioned at the beginning of class from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those people have already inherited their reward. So the fact that we'll be able to follow that, we can look back to them as examples for that.
And then 2 Peter 3:15, remember that while our Lord is waiting patiently to return, people are being saved. So patience serves a purpose for God overall, and then in our lives, you know, with the people that we deal with, that patience is also going to bring about results in our relationships with them, and maybe even in their relationship to God.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
It changes.
Thank you. If God wasn't patient, we could not be saved. He waited for you, and he's still waiting for others. And that's what is to compel us to share his love. What compels us to be patient with others. I don't know about you, but that's very convicting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do we share his love in 30 seconds or less? When we come across people in our lives. Julie talked about this some last week, but it's not by preaching, you guys. It's not by showing someone how they're wrong. It's not by pleading with them. But the way that we show his love to others is how we behave in this scenario with patience, how we endure difficulties by being patient, by being long-suffering, waiting instead of whining, smiling instead of stewing, praying instead of venting, letting someone go ahead of us instead of fighting to be first. Because those things are kingdom-focused. And it doesn't make sense to the world. The world thinks we're crazy. I mean, look at all of the things we believe. We believe that, you know, a virgin had a baby and he became the savior of the world and then he died and then he rose. I mean, these things don't sound normal to those who are non-believers, but that's what we're to be. We're to be people that don't make sense to others. We're to be kingdom focused. So if we think about Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about this last week too. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. There's not a limit to how much you're going to give. And patience is God working through us to reach those who are lost. It's a product of God living in us. You guys, he's in us. That's really hard to fathom, that he put his Spirit in us, to dwell in us. And when we are patient in an impatient world, that's how we show people the one who's patient with us. So thank you for all of your contributions today. I enjoy the discussion. I feel like we could keep going. There's one thing I love about this group is that we love to talk. So thank you. I appreciate all your participation today.